back to the danger room. And with me, I have Deaton. How you doing?
I know I'm back.
Who is that? What is that voice?
Did you play this game?
I have once this year, probably.
Last time I saw LVO.
No, I played in the TTS League before this current one.
That's true. You're doing WTC. But yes, listeners, Sploosh and Deaton are here. We're here to talk about the errata.
Very exciting.
But first, I would like to shout out CarlCon. I went to CarlCon last weekend. It's like the first weekend of September over in NorCal by Sacramento, run by Carl, who now runs the TTS leagues
and the mod.
But no, I had a really great time. Got my ass handed to me. I got my ass handed to me at CarlCon, and then I had to play against Malekith Hulk in one of the online events this week, and I was just sitting in my hammock on Friday afternoon after work. I was just like annoyed. I was like, work was tough. I hate Marvel right now. Everything about it's terrible. And then AMG fixed it all
like an hour later.
I was just brooding in my hammock in the backyard. I'm like, this sucks.
So on the topic of CarlCon, not about the event itself, like the winners and losers and all that stuff, but what I know they had bingo. Talk about bingo a little bit.
So Carl made these bingo cards that have these weird or random like things on them that are like end around with every character on top of terrain, or start around with a new drink, or and have a character in your opponent's deployment zone. And then there's probably 25-ish above these, and you turn them in at the end of the event, and whoever has the most gets first pick at the prize pool, and then it just works downwards from there. It's fun. A lot of people enjoy it. I tend to be too focused to like even take photos of my games to retroactively do that stuff, but I know a lot of people like it. I wouldn't discourage Carl from doing it again. I think it's good.
And I know just watching from afar, they said like the end of the day was sort of chaos. Like that last round, especially a lot of the tables were just like, how do we maximize this?
Yeah. I know Bug Eater tried something similar a couple years ago, and yeah, it's cool. It's not made for me. I think but a lot of people like it. And I think it's worth it if you think your players will enjoy. Yeah. I tend to just come travel to play Marvel and just, yeah, that sort of thing. I had some stressful first games. My first game is Hulk, Malekith, Red Skull. I'm just like, oh, really? We're doing this? Then my second game is like 20 threat of CGR Guardians with Bill, Ghost Rider Guardians. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is just miserable. And then I had to play against Hulk, Malekith again later in the week online. And I'm like, man, I hate everything about this. And I even won those two games against Malekith, but it was just miserable. The whole game is just going to take my character. I'm dead. Cool. All right. But none of that matters anymore.
Yeah.
We're living in a new world.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So listeners, if you pay attention to Discord or the internet, AMG updated 22 characters, a lot of which are fan favorites that have been maligned throughout the game's life. A lot of them are X-Men. Basically, all of the X-Men that were bad are now pretty sweet, in theory.
Wait, actually, the only X-Men not changed is like Beast, right?
And Gambit.
We have to go to Gambit so quick?
Well,
yeah, though. You know, but I was talking about the original X-Men. Gambit was
I just don't think AMG just didn't. They didn't nail it with their original X-Men. They were all kind of duds. Right off.
Big difference.
Beast was like serviceable, and Storm leadership was insane, but Cyclops, Jean, Wolverine were just misses. Cable was a miss.
Cyclops. But yeah, they're all too safe, and they all seemed like too expensive for what they're trying to do. Everything was just, I don't know. They even said it on the stream that X-Men were supposed to not really be masters of anything. And I think they used that idea. They're like, oh, a throw should cost 3 instead of 2 because they're like not masters at it. And I don't know. I think they just ran with that idea and it didn't work out.
So. Something I've heard. I listen to Will Schick talk a lot. And before I get into this, actually, I would like to shout out Schick and their new development person, Ben. I think I've been very impressed with what Schick has said this whole year, and anything that he is, anytime he's speaking to Gamers Guild or on streams or at conventions or whatever, I feel like Schick he sounds a lot more in tune with the player base than he ever has. And his philosophy on what the game should be feels a lot more aligned with the players. So I've been very happy with Schick this year. Kudos to him. And then Ben also sounds very in touch with what's going on. And it sounded like he was even responsible for pushing through some of these, more of these updates.
Yeah, I thought the stream was really interesting. Obviously, you're always going to have things you agree or maybe more agree and disagree with. But the way they were transparent about why they're changing things, how they went about the lines that they were trying to follow. We'll talk about some of the nerfs, I'm sure, but they said, we want stuff to feel fair and powerful. And then as they revealed some of those nerfs, and I thought that was really telling, because I think that when you then look at the changes, it makes a lot of sense. They're not reworking characters. They're not doing a lot of that stuff. They're really just trying to modernize them, is a way to put it, but really just make sure that some of these older characters fit with some of the lessons they've learned. And I thought I was really happy with the way they talked about that.
Something that impressed me, that the first errata they did, the big wave, was like 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Almost 2 years ago. But so the point is, when that happened, I was mad that they didn't touch Taskmaster. Sure, there's others. I think Ronin would count as he should have been touched 2 years ago. But for me personally, Hela and Taskmaster were on my list of like, how did they miss this? And so I'm really happy that they are willing to go 2 years ago and even fix what they didn't do 2 years ago, rather than just saying, oh, whatever, that's like too old, that's too long ago. Heck, even Thor, if you think about it, I don't care if Thor has changed, but Thor was with Hela, right? Thor was like one, I think like maybe the third or something release ever in the game. So the fact that they went so far back is cool to me, because it's cool to know the characters just aren't completely forgotten.
A lot of the favorite characters came in the first year, and a lot of them were duds, right? Like Guardians were a disaster, right? Completely revamped previous
year. Right.
And like X-Men were already in the Viscerat.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and obviously Peter Parker got buffed in Daredevil, completely makeover, and Thor didn't get a makeover, but he got some numbers tweaks, and yeah, those are like super fan favorite characters. You gotta have Peter Parker, Daredevil, and Thor have to be in a Marvel. That's just a fact.
I mean, Captain America, all the iconic. Yeah. Actually,
it's fine though. Like Cap has multiple iterations.
Yeah, they fixed them, right? So it's okay. That actually makes me think about my boy Red Skull. But I don't know. There's like a new Red Skull. There's also a new Corset coming out. So I can see where they're like, you know what? Whatever. Red Skull's good.
Yeah, I don't think you need to touch original Core Box Red Skull. It just feels dated and is what it is, I think.
I disagree.
Awesome, and new Red Skull is really good.
No, I think if they made Red Skull's one cost ability just zero, that would have been fine, because it works with his leadership where he would just get one lead more from a hit. But yeah, whatever. It's not a big... It is what it is.
People can play a good version of Red Skull pretty easily now.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And you can make that list work, right? Like so I think from that perspective, like they've now gone through the stuff twice. He hasn't been touched. I think that when you look at something like a Red Skull and you think about his place in the power rankings, you can start to see what they consider touchable after two rounds. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I don't want to make this about Red Skull, because actually, as I'm thinking about it, there's the cube damage also is a bit of an irk for me. But the funny thing, we're not going to talk about the spoilers. We'll do that on a later episode. But I think Red Skull and Nightcrawler is going to be some memes. Because
you have models that are not.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the models that aren't out yet, the spoiled stuff. But I just do think it would be funny if Red Skull and Nightcrawler actually was good. At least somebody's going to make that funny. I mean, crazy.
You just play with Cyclops, right?
Oh, he can go infinite. Yeah, he can literally go infinite with his spender.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, anyway, you put like Zemo next to him, who's affiliated, and give him a reroll, and yeah, it's a good time.
Wait. All right, we'll move on to actual changes.
Can I say one thing real quick before we go into the changes? That I really appreciated what I think is a lesson learned from the last time they did this, in that they they didn't spoil the stuff at Mini Extravaganza and then wait months.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a huge... I was floored when Schick said, when does this go live? In about 30 minutes. Oh, my God. And I think because of the way the interest really waned in the game 2 years ago between Mini Extravaganza and the release. From that angle, from the way they were talking about it, from how they released it, this was a home run. And that's not even talking about the details of the changes. I thought the way they went, the process by which they went about it, I was a huge fan of.
That whole period last year, 2 years ago, where people are like, I don't want to play an unupdated game, whatever. And it was, so yeah, that's, they just avoided that entirely, which is good.
Well, in the future, I would like a change log of some sort, though. If you play any video game and they do a lot of changes, they'll give you a patch notes. Come on, it was fun, but I was literally like just reading whole cards, both sides, looking for the magic difference. And it was exhausting by the end.
Rules. Is that way you can make the change log as you're reading it?
Yeah, like,
there are also very people on Discord who make change logs, which have been done already. Yeah.
Their stream was also the change log, right? Yeah. I realize it's not exactly what you're asking for, but that's what they did, was sit there and read through every card, basically.
Yeah. Nitpicking, but it would have been nice. That's all I'm saying. You know, some people, they're busy lives and they just want to look at a change log. That's all. So cool.
So Cable got touched first. Cable's gun's a lot better now. He just rerolls within three, and then his leadership is the same. What else? He gained health, and he also lost his stagger on his spender. Not really sure what got rid of that. They made it cheaper. But for me, I think Cable is, I think he's cool. I don't know how amazing he is. I think he probably feels fine. Like, 5-dice reroll is a Logan attacker. 3 rolls. He has Incinerate instead of Pierce. It's also Energy, which is better type.
Yeah, I think they noted on the stream. They're like, 5-dice, we don't want him just sitting back there and annihilating everything. But it's Rocket does that. And this is a 3-threat difference. Yeah. So it seems like they're still very conscious of the 5, range 5, 5-dice, which is fair. But it'll be interesting to see how the range dynamic and the reroll play together.
So, I can say... Yeah, I can just say, because I've played a lot of games against Dizzard, and probably people know Dizzard loves X-Force. And I will say, even though it's just Cable, and I'm talking old Cable, getting pinged for 5-dice and at range 5 is, I don't know, it's emotionally exhausting when you're playing this game. Like, you just always feel like, oh no, what if he spikes? And then I'm incinerated, so I'm rolling like 2-dice. What if he just rolls 5 hits or something? What happens and is not that great a character, but I do completely understand what they're saying about giving someone range 5 and just letting him pelt at you. And it's not just that he's range 5, like Rocket. He also can move with his teleport, which he can afford every turn. And then he's a medium base. He feels oppressive in that he's always hitting somebody.
Yeah, the Cable is always, you're always sweating. The Cable is going to shoot me. Is he going to spike me?
Yeah, there's no feeling of, oh, if I go over here, he'll leave me alone. It just doesn't. He's always going to be after you. And you're just sweating those dice. I think that's very logical what they said.
I'm happy with making him more effectiveness within close range. I've always felt it weird that Cable was this long-range Hawkeye sniper character. I just never picture Cable doing that. Like, he can do that, but I don't ever see him always doing that. Yeah. I like that they've given him some more depth.
Yep. And then we should talk about the leadership, I guess. Kind of.
Leadership lets you. Still is a reroll. You can reroll a skull now, like Shadowlands, Daredevil, and nor cover within range 3. Which, funnily enough, Storm lost her cover. So. I think nor cover is cool. It's probably pretty sweet on Scoundrel.
And the only
thing I was just going
to
say.
A little awkward about it is that they have to be at the same time. So it's, you only get the ignore cover when you do the reroll. So it's a lot of what I see with X-Force is, oh, you're waiting for your opponent to whiff. And then you just, I'm going to push the damage. So I think I'm not complaining. I just think it'll be interesting to see how that works together.
Yeah, you only get the cover when you use the reroll. Okay.
But if they are in cover, waiting for the whiff is definitely more happening when they don't get cover. You know? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Cover all times at range 3 or less.
Pick, right? It's you get in and you've got to make sure you're at range 3. But that synergizes with Cable himself, right? Like, he's going to get into range 3, ignore cover, and just reroll 3 dice. Like, it's really good. Or reroll 2 and then reroll 3. It seems pretty good.
So I think we're all pretty.
It's a very soft pierce, basically. A very soft pierce, but it is there.
So there's a lot of these. Let's keep. So Colossus, yeah. He's medium move. He cannot be pushed by enemy effects, period. And his spender is range 3.
And his bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. His bodyguard is no longer like a core cap. It's now like Luke Cage and Black Dwarf, where you have to be next to the attacker.
I mean, he is just 4-threat Luke Cage now, right?
Pretty much, yeah. He doesn't have Fierce Rider, which is a big deal, but he's a lot more tanky and he can't really be moved, except for, like, oh, and throws.
Yeah, there are differences, but, like, when you look at the card, it's range 2, 5 dice, 3 for 7. He throws 3 in medium instead of 2 in short. Like, they're very similar characters. He's just better in a lot of ways. So I really like this chain for him. I think it's... Obviously, the speed is the big thing, but you can really tell he's going to get somewhere and he's going to stick there. That is their vision for him, and I think that's fantastic.
He was designed as a copy of Cap, but then he was also designed the exact same time they made Luke Cage. So probably they're like, let's make like a Cap version of Luke Cage. Let's make like a Luke Cage, who didn't exist until they made him, you know. But Cap ended up getting errated, so it almost was obvious that you'd have to Errata Colossus to keep up with the power level. The big complaint I had with Colossus, other than of course his short move, was that you could do with the same thing you did to Cap, which was just pepper him and then wait for a swing turn and then daze him. I don't know, that's he's like way more nasty. I don't know. I think I picture, like, because he's so mobile, you could just jam him into people. I think you could basically force people to daze him when they don't want to, which is gonna be pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. I think Colossus is freaking ownage now. He's super durable, and you feel really good about just jamming him up there. And like Dean said, he's not going to get moved. Like, there's a lot of push mechanics in this game that just don't work on him. Just off the top of my head, Phantasmagoria, Iron Man shots, Black Panther attacks, Shuri. None of this stuff works.
This guy's, the Web Warriors just can't move him for a lot of their stuff.
But yeah, also true. Hulk can't push him with the attack. It's got to throw him. Yeah, can't put a Juggernaut. There's just so much.
That being said, he's weak to ranged characters. In the situation where they're trying to get around his bodyguard, we had talked privately about Cosmic Ghost Rider can just bounce himself out and then just shoot whoever he's bodyguarding, quote unquote.
Yeah, the logic. Ghost Rider, the chains don't do anything to Colossus. Like, he doesn't get pushed and therefore doesn't get incinerated. But Ghost Rider has his little dumb teleport, so he could just teleport away from Colossus and attack his friends. So
if you position it correctly, Ghost Rider extending his mobility to get behind in order to turn on the pulls is ultimately not letting him have his ideal positioning is what you want to be doing. It's not perfect, but if it was, a 4-threat would perfectly counter a 6-threat.
It's probably worth mentioning, some counterplay with Ghost Rider is, if he's not spendering you and chainsing you because he has to teleport, then it's definitely something.
The other thing I wanted to mention is I think Colossus being a good character means X-Men, especially under Cyclops, might start playing patch up, because Colossus is an insane patch up target with 7 health on his flip side and counting blanks and all that. His value is just going to be like unkillable. Also, one of the biggest complaints of Colossus when he first came out was how the hell does he generate power, and Cyclops just like solves that problem.
Yeah, Scott solved the problem, but also just being a medium move so he can actually make attacks helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how different this character is.
No, Colossus is ownage. I think he's definitely a staple in X-Men lists, at least for now, until people get some games in, but I'm excited to play him. I also did want to mention a little bit that I forgot to mention earlier. We were talking about X-Men's design, or Luce was complaining that some of the attack, the things were overcosted, whatever. Schick has said on the streams that his design philosophy for X-Men is that they should each bring one thing to the team. In the Colossus' case, it's a bodyguard. And the problem is when that piece doesn't function, or they're underbaked or whatever, the X-Men as a whole just don't have access to that thing. So it becomes very difficult for them as a collective to work. Which is why I feel like with that philosophy of one piece is bad, it impacts a lot more than, say, Avengers.
Yeah, this isn't an X-Men episode, because I could honestly talk a whole day for this, but X-Men struggled a little bit with, in my opinion, Map C. And I think Colossus and Cyclops is just going to change everything. So
yeah, Wolverine.
Yeah.
All right. My boy, Scott, he's fixed.
I think we can just
finally
just skip this one, right? There's nothing really.
No. Yeah, we don't need to talk.
No, he's finally. I'm so happy.
I mean, you tell us, you're the super fan, and talk to your super fan friend.
Yes. So yes.
What do you like?
Everything. But no, yeah, he has. So in, he has, dude, Optic Blast has got to be one of the best builders in the game now. It's, I think it's basically like Sam Wilson's attack on a four threat. He's got Wild Push. He's got, it's range four, five dice, and he's got, on a hit Wild, make another attack. That can't hit the same guy like Ricochet, but it also can't exceed the range limits like Ricochet can, which is, yeah, it's not as good, but.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, why is that better? Yeah.
The thing is he can also, it is better in some ways, right? It's a radius around Scott instead of a radius around the target. So you could hit people range four in the opposite direction of you versus range three of the target, right? There are scenarios where speed of sight can hit two models where Ricochet couldn't. So yeah, I think, and then this also, since he can just make free attacks, this also helps his power gen by a lot. And he can have turns like Sam Wilson can where he just pushes four models away. It builds a ton of power in the process.
The push is before damage on Cyclops, which isn't a change, I don't believe, but that's a super strong rule.
Yeah, and it's now up to size 3. It was size 2, which made no sense to me. I was like, does Cyclops Optic Blast like puncture mountains? Like, why is he, can he only push like Spider-Man? And they also made his beam spender is now, they lose a power for each wild. It used to be just lose one power per any amount of wilds, but now it's like new Bucky, which is fine. It's whatever.
If you're getting super often,
yeah. If you're getting shot by a beam attack that has like a bazillion wilds, like you're probably just dying anyway.
And you don't lose power if you die. Importantly, to this, right?
Yeah, that's also true. That's whatever.
Okay, you've played Cyclops on the table, obviously when he wasn't as good. But I found if I was using Optic Devastation, it was always depressing, and not really the greatest decision I was making. It was basically like desperation.
I don't think you'll be using this attack very much, but it is range 5. There are times where it might be clutch.
And having Hit and Run to set this up, and knowing that the more characters that are in this beam, the more power you can give to your team is very good.
Yeah, it's also true.
Also, if he's like with Domino and she's feeding him all the power from her rapid fires and stuff, then he has just so much power. It's, I guess I'll do this spender I wasn't really planning on doing. Yeah. That's neat. So maybe you do use it like when you're hitting like upward of 8 plus power.
Yeah, it depends on if your opponent's lined up and stuff, right? But it definitely gives them like a lot of e-game, right? Yeah, no. And then his leadership is you just give power out to people when you do damage with attacks. Obviously, this is great. His other leadership was a meme.
Range 5 is so far.
Range 5 is really good.
It's nuts. Good.
And then everything else on his card is the same. Those things were fine to begin with. But yeah, dude, I feel like Scott is now like he's like a four threat version of Star-Lord with some aspects of Sam. I think he's, oh man, he's so good.
I'm really excited. Not because, I mean, I'm not super attached to Cyclops as a character, but I think the more Field Leader gets used in the community, the better it is, because that ability is so cool. I love that power. So if people are using that and using it creatively, I'm excited to see the plays.
I love
Field Leader and Patch Up.
Amen.
Yeah. Field Leader and Patch Up is going to be like the good time dream. And I think it's going to happen a lot. That's so much agency to make a Patch Up happen that otherwise would be impossible. Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if Patch Up's going to get banned, to be honest.
Jeez. Yeah, let me tell you, playing Shield, dealing with Patch Up was very frustrating.
Yeah, because Patch Up, I'm not super experienced in this, but I know people are doing Patch Up with I-Hulk. And then just in general, I've noticed like a lot of four threats or whatever getting a lot of hit points. And Patch Up just is amazing for that. I feel like if you have 6 health, that's not ideal for Patch Up, unless maybe you have mods of some kind. But we're starting to see characters with 7 health, 8 health, 9 health, like characters we're going to get to maybe. That's where Patch-Up starts to get better and better.
I also am a little nervous that Thanos can play Patch-Up again.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, that too.
for 6 more days, so it's fine. I do think that, think about it, right? Everyone's been talking about how killy the meta is forever, and now we're talking about potentially the exact opposite. So, you know, and that's directly in line with AMG said. So that if I have to deal with people patching up, it's annoying. That means more people are playing the game. So is it going to be too good? Is it going to be too bad? I don't know.
So I don't think the game's more killy than it was before. I think it's about the same, but I think it got refocused into the mid range, hopefully.
Whereas yeah, we before, hope.
Yeah, because before it was Malekith would death touch your character, and he was so hard to counterplay against because he's huge, he has bazillion health, he has defense tech, he's just, he can be anywhere, and his cards just counterplayed anything that you try to do to him. It's, oh, I gang up on you and kill you, I Phantasmagoria your whole team and heal it all back and whatever. Hopefully that stuff gets refocused, and if a fourth threat does a lot of damage, there's still a fourth threat and they can be killed. Malekith could not be consistently killed.
It's worth noting, we just talked about Colossus and Cyclops, and they're still, at the end of the day, just slinging five dice builders. Like, that's good. That's not ridiculous. That's, Zemo does more than that. So, this isn't some super offense going on here. But anyway, yeah, I agree with you, though, Mike, that it's just feeling a counterplay, and I hope that the game moves towards more like threes and four threats again and not freaking six and sevens.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Deadpool. Deadpool is freaking insane now. I think he might be the biggest. Him and Cyclops might be the biggest winners. Maybe Wolverine. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Let's not have that conversation.
Yeah. No, I think. But yeah, his sword's lost Wild Bleed. It's now Wild Make Another Attack. His gun's lost the third gunshot. He gained a teleport, like a Black Cat grappling hook. And his guns also give him power now. And I was just saying the other day, I was like, man, all Deadpool needs is his guns to give him power, because his power drain ability is like very good. Like, it's just three, I spend three power, you lose two power. Boom. And if Deadpool could make power, he could just turn stuff off. Oh, you're sitting there with a three power Malekith, like ready to mess up my day. I just murk you. And then you just are stuck there.
Well, like, it's almost relevant.
Like, almost like a stagger in a lot of ways.
It counterplays like bodyguards and stuff, like little things like that. I'm sure, what else do you, actually, I don't know. I'll have to think about it, but for sure, bodyguard risk is a good catch. So in that way, it's almost like having Mystique's ability to turn off someone's card. Like, it could turn off a tactics card. Like, maybe they could pay for Brace or something, and you're like, nope, you have no power now. So that's interesting as well.
And also just giving him the teleport lets him make his swords attack now. Where before, Deadpool would have to take movement actions, and it just felt horrible that you just make gunshots instead.
True.
But now he can teleport and make two sword attacks. It feels way better.
I wouldn't get too crazed on the sword, because I think I've played a lot of Deadpool, actually, and he mostly wants to just shoot his guns, because he has four health, okay? And when he flips, six health is decent, but it's not crazy. And he only has the three physical defense, so he can kind of just melt.
He's got a defense reroll, and he has access to Exceptional, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, Exceptional's, like, basically mandatory with this guy. But I guess my point is, like, from playing him, I'm not saying he'll never stab, but it's, like, most, especially early game, he's just going to want to shoot his pistols, build up some power, and then maybe pull off a clutch taunt with stealing their power, or go in for a stab when it's, like, really... The game's kind of winding down, maybe some things are dazed, and it's not so bloody, and he can get in there and use his sword. Yeah, the sword is really cool. I think if you're playing Deadpool and just running and trying to sword people, you're going to end up pretty sad.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I don't...
Yeah.
You're definitely going to be making a lot of gunshots, but his swords are, like, usable now because of a teleport.
The other shout-out is I constantly forget this, is that he does have the reroll on attack and defense. Yep. So that stab is, like, unofficially six dice. But the trigger is double wild, right? Which is, that's rare. So,
yeah, it's going to be hard to hit that. It's like maybe 15, 20%, maybe with the reroll.
Just under 20.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing with a Corset Avenger, the Deadpool's an Avenger. But that's, yeah, that could be a thing. I think Deadpool could be, is most likely going to be an Avenger. X-Force probably plays him just because of the healing factor spam. But, I would expect people to see Deadpool being an Avenger.
Deadpool's a great Avenger. No.
Yeah. Sam Spam doesn't hate it either.
Yeah, new yeah. Steve, new Korbach Steve. Yeah, that's freaking sweet.
Yeah. And
Dean, what do you guys think about Deadpool?
He's dope. I don't know. I never played a whole lot of Deadpool. I think understanding the ramifications of what he's getting, a little hard, but I also think good for him. I want to see more characters get some of this stuff. And
I think he has a really useful niche in a power drain mechanic. I think that's very good to have in the game. You don't want people losing power every game, and that's like the meta. That would be awful. But I think having a model that just can drain power randomly on people, I think is.
Yeah.
Of course, you just think control. That's just your brain. But now, one thing is you cannot underestimate a healing factor 3 threat because holding like a cube or something, it's just like you can passively play like safe, which is why the pistols are sweet. That's where I think he's like most comfortable, is playing like a backline role. And just chill him.
Yeah.
And exceptional healing makes him like clutch, not die, which is huge.
We got Jean. Very minor changes for Jean. She gained a skull trigger pierce on her mystic attack, and she now gains 3 power in the power phase, up from 2, which conveniently all of her superpowers cost 3. Oh, and her spender costs 1 less, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't leave that out, bro. That's big.
That is a big deal for the numbers. But yeah, Jean now can just walk throw size 4 at somebody like Angela.
Yeah, and her spender is a size 4 throw. So you can take a Rhino and just Rhino's area mentally handicapped. And then because she attacks, in this case, it'd be physical, but drop those 9 dice and throw Rhino into someone else. And that's crazy. I can't remember. I remember, oh my God, I was playing as Mark against old Gina. That throw annihilated me. I don't remember. I was playing something Syndicate, and that throw, you lose your brace for impact against Gene so quickly.
Yeah.
Between her spender and then every turn she can afford a size 4 throw at range 3, she's going to eat brace for impact, which if you're playing, I don't know, like a fastball special or something, might be sweet.
Yep.
Yeah,
I really like new Jean, man. I haven't played her put her on the table, but just in my head and the math everything seems really cool.
Yeah, my problem with her originally was like she kind of just did nothing. She couldn't afford it. Felt like she just couldn't afford her card. Her spender cost 6 in the old card. That's crazy. And then she was only gaining the 2 power per turn. And then her spender, her builder was just trash. 5 dice, no pierce, a sap. Sure, range 4, it just for 5 threat, it was extremely unexciting. But now she doesn't even she can still do her builder and get some power, but she almost like doesn't even need it. We're talking in turn 1, she could pick up an extract or interact with a secure, like a pay to flip. Turn 2, she can afford her spender. That's crazy. And maybe you don't even want to do that. You want to do other stuff. But just the fact that she can drop 9 dice on someone and throw a size 4 character into another character is nuts. Toughest card.
The double move push somebody with the transmutation thing. Which is a weird superpower, but in a pinch, it can be useful. You'd be like, all right, walk, push you off the point, right?
Yeah, the fact they have to be activated is so wonky, but whatever. Yeah.
And fun fact, you can use it on allies too. So like people get moved off, you can move them back.
I actually think now that her power economy is fixed, transmutation needs it to be activated. Otherwise, turn 1, you can just push whatever you want up the board.
Yeah, I previously felt like that ability should just have been Bao, but now that she got buffed in other ways, I think this is cool, and I like what they did.
Yeah, it's also the fact that X-Men have Colossus now, and then Honey Badger. Her survivability probably just goes up by osmosis of other things in the affiliation. Yeah. Jean's cool. I've always loved her tactics card too. So the fact the character is actually pretty good now is very exciting.
Yeah, mental domination is an insane card.
Yeah.
If you don't know that attack is not an action. You can make 2 attacks and then play mental dom and make a 3rd attack.
Yeah, I've had so many judge calls on that card. So please. I get too why someone would call a judge because it sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, no way, what? But anyway. Yeah.
Cool. Next, we got Storm. She got nerfed and buffed in different ways. Not Rim. Her add dice to attacks now costs 2. It was 3. Her hurricane attack gained a dot. And then her spender, not a spender, her leadership, the cover's gone. It's now a defense reroll. And the jump, the hop costs a power.
Wasn't the spender cheaper? I can't remember.
No, it was all, it was always four. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we thought it was more because you always wanted to add dice to it, which costs more. So it was like seven or something like that.
That's true. That's, yeah, you're right. Cause it always felt like five dice for with four power just felt so mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Hurricane is actually like pretty decent. Like it's AOE 2/8 dice for six and it auto damages flyers. That's not too bad, I don't think.
So I think we can all agree that Storm as a character is just flat out better character.
Like, yeah, she's going to be making six dice attacks out of stealth like pretty easily, which is pretty sweet.
I think it was pretty common knowledge that she was a leadership bot in the past. But I don't know. That's how I felt. And I felt as pretty, I don't know. But so the reason I bring this up is actually maybe Storm's actually a good Wakandan now.
I think she's a great Wakandan.
Yeah.
Great in A-Force. She's going to be making like 2 6 dice attacks on the throw most turns that she's alive. That's great.
Yeah, that's a big deal because Bucky was like the unofficial Wakandan for a while. I'm not so sure if Bucky's going to be great for them any with the nerfs he received. It kind of is convenient that Storm stepped up and could be that new Wakandan character.
Storm can also play Wakanda Forever.
True.
On a beam?
Yeah.
Which is Eye of the Stormed?
No. You have to Eye of the Storm it out if you Wakanda Forever on her turn.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. But you can triple beam six if you want to.
Yeah. If you Wakanda Forever on her turn. Yep.
God. For five power, right?
That'd be six power. Seven with Wakanda Forever.
Like seven with Wakanda Forever. Yeah.
Wait. Because no, but you could do Ice Blizzard, which is a beam.
So you Eye of the Storm three times and then you Wakanda Forever once. And you get 3 6 die beam threes.
How's she attacking three times?
Two of the attacks plus Wakanda Forever. Two attack actions and Wakanda Forever.
Oh, okay, you're right. How did I miss that? That's so obvious. But okay.
One of the things that I really like about that's cute with Storm is that Hurricane, you can just auto damage things with flight. And so leaving a flyer on one, you just walk up, you declare the attack, and off you go. Because you establish the target thing, so.
Yeah, I had a critical moment in a game where Voodoo flies. And if Voodoo didn't one-shot Storm, which was at full health, then I just literally move, do a Hurricane auto damage kill, and I win the game. And then Voodoo one-shot my Storm. But it still would have been glorious.
That was not the ending I expected from that story. Well, that's great.
Yeah, that was a very important game, too, in the TTS League. But anyway, I'm not bitter or anything. But yeah, anyway, so we should talk about the leadership, though, right?
Yeah, so I think the Hop is like still good. It's just dialed back a little bit. And I think the bigger nerf is the loss of cover.
Yes.
This does make Scoundrels like semi-attractive with X-Men, I think. That's definitely something worth playing. Because then you get your cover back and you get a defense reroll on top of it. So that seems...
X-Men have so many good range 2 characters now that are survivable. Yeah, I agree with that, that Scoundrels might actually be a good for X-Men. I think that's awesome, too, for the game, because remember when Scoundrels came, and it came with Gambit, of all things. Scoundrels came out, and we're like, why is this so bad for X-Men? They already have cover. It's nearly useless for them.
Yeah, I do think that this leadership change needed to happen. I think global cover was too much.
Yeah, it was too good.
Noted S.H.I.E.L.D. player Mike DeLuca saying that cover is too good.
I'm not a S.H.I.E.L.D. player anymore. But yeah, I think, okay, so if they kept the cover part the same and they just put a power cost on the Hop, I think everyone would still be playing Storm's leadership, especially with her character buffs.
Yeah.
Like this needed to be dialed back a little bit.
I really like the changes, quite frankly. I don't know the cover it's going to be take games to figure out because there's the range interplay. But I really like the change to the Hop because it notably turns down the turn one stuff. While still leaving it as an option, right? Because you can play first class and you can still use the leadership to do those things.
Yeah.
What you can't do, what this does stop, is some of the more egregious, let me go dive your backline with characters like Angela, with characters like Beast in first class. Those plays are off the table now.
Or even like R&D Malekith, X-Men Hop, Charge, right?
Stuff like that is off the table. And I think that's a really good thing. So I really like that side of the buff and or the nerf, and then the other side of it seems fine. I don't know how strong this part is without seeing it on the table.
So yeah. what what this little shirt means to me is that before it was like cover plus something cool. Now it's basically you're taking Sora's leadership because you're going to explode the hub. And the backstory Red Skull is still going to be able to use this hop effectively. And I think having a character in your roster, even Corvus Proxima, Corvus jumping over Proxima, I think it's probably not as good as it used to be. But my point is, we're going to need to play characters that really want to hop and can use it effectively every turn for this leadership to actually be worth it.
Dude, I mean,
and
I really think this is probably good leadership on Map D, like on Extremis or whatever, because there were, I don't know if you've played, when I used to play Wakanda forever ago, range 5 is not far enough to shoot different points on that map. And what I mean by range 5 is because Cyclops' leadership, you need to be within range 5. There could be a world where Cyclops's, your models are too far away to be giving power effectively to each other. But this lets you get hops and stuff to move around Map D. I think Storm leadership is still good. And obviously you've been still midline grab with first class.
Well, the turn 1 stuff's not going to go away. Granted, that's a guaranteed cost. Like you have to spend a tax card for turn 1 plays, which is an acceptable tax that's fair to the game. So yeah, you're going to hop and spend taxes cards. My point though is you need to get more value out of hop than just turn 1, or this leadership's almost like a blank card.
No, I think Storm still makes my X-Men list for sure.
Yeah. I think there's absolutely places where this is still a very good leadership. It's not what it was certainly, but how many times have you looked at the board state and said, I could really use a range medium place? Like that comes going to come up all the time.
Yeah. The veterans are going to see it a lot because that's what we've been programmed to do. Yeah. I don't know. It's a pretty big nerf. That cover was insane. Also, let's just talk about cover influenced the entire meta of the game because you mentioned Shield was sweat in X-Men, but also I played a lot of games against X-Force, as I mentioned earlier, and X-Force hated this cover, and now the cover just doesn't exist. So that opens up more gunline teams. It's going to make Guardians better against X-Men. I'm sure there's lots of teams I'm not even thinking of. Yeah, I don't know. Reroll is not great. It's like a 40% chance rate of getting a block. Yeah,
it's just strictly worse than like Miles' leadership, but also that this is only half of Storm's leadership.
So you need the hop to be value. And wouldn't people call it X-Men Red or whatever? There's going to be teams like dedicated to making this hop good. And that's cool because it means X-Men can have different play styles where maybe you're all in on Cyclops, but you're all in on Storm. You can see what you're saying about playing Storm is like, because Cyclops is literally just pitiful in that scenario. But I don't know. It's going to be tough because putting together a 10-man roster and accommodating both leaderships effectively is going to be really difficult.
What was that, Sploosh? You said 10-man roster. And
yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm just saying trying to maximize both leaderships in out of 10 characters is going to be very difficult. Like really exploit the hops while also having characters that are good with Cyclops. It's tough. I've been playing around and I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think you're going to have to commit a little bit to one leadership or the other.
Yeah, I think X-Men are not. I was literally complaining about this yesterday before they dropped the changes. I was like, X-Men are carried by Storm leadership and they're a bunch of like mediocre characters that are like, okay, and that's it. But now they're all like pretty cool. And it's just pretend that X-Men just came out yesterday. Like they weren't even in the game before that.
Honestly, you're not wrong. They just completely changed both leaderships. They're basically nearly new. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the last X-Man here. Wolverine.
Here we go.
Deaton's favorite.
Why don't we let Deaton run this train?
What's different about Wolverine?
They just changed the cost on his charge. That's it. It's fine. No, so they did. So notably, he got one health on the backside, which I think is a huge deal for him. The 5 versus 6 is just a massive difference, especially with the way he works. But the big change for Wolverine is that his best at what I do went from 3 power down to 2 power and is now you're not required to make an adamantium slash attack. You can use the spender on the charge, which more dice counting double wilds is pretty good. But yeah, Wolverine's extremely good now.
So Wolverine just has the best charge in the game now, I think. He really is the best at what he does now, finally. Yes,
is the best charge.
Yeah.
No one does what this does. Yeah, I played a game with him this morning, and he was charging around and just obliterating things, and it was great. It felt like Wolverine. So I think this is a great change because the health, I think, is a great change. I love that change. I think he was way too fragile on the backside, right? Even with something like Exceptional, that five just made it a little too easy to burn through his backside. But the charge, I think, is it's just bananas, right? Like, you look at the places that he spits now. The Steve, he was already looking like he's going to be good in Core Box Steve with the way he worked. Now he's nuts because that just got super efficient. Original Steve, he's got a one cost charge counting double wilds. Great. We talked about Colossus earlier. Fastball back on the menu, boys. There's just a lot of places that I think one of the premier Marvel characters
now feels so really. What's crazy is Colossus is also in X-Force, and Wolverine's in X-Force, right? I'm just saying, this guy's everywhere. He's going to be in Defenders, X-Force.
This Wolverine notably has a much bigger affiliation list than the other one. So it is X-Men, is X-Force, is Weapon. He's not affiliated with
X-Men. Not no. Weapon X, no.
No.
Avengers, Defenders.
Avenger, Defenders, X-Men. And those are some really cool places to put this guy. Avengers, obviously, everybody knows about. And then Defenders, we'll talk a little bit about Daredevil later, not to jump too far ahead. But that leadership sort of tailor-made to what this guy wants to be doing. So I couldn't be happier with this. Obviously, the charge is, it's really good. So I think that's something to keep your eye on. If you're playing against a lot of Wolverines, is note that charge is what it's his bread and butter, what he wants to be doing.
Yeah, I think people should be prepared to see Wolverine a lot and everywhere.
Do you think he's going to bump Logan out? Oh,
yes.
I can't express enough how shocking that is to me. If you had asked me 2 days ago if I ever thought Logan would be not played that much or considered whatever, just good, not insane or whatever, I just wouldn't believe you.
Thing is, do I think he's strictly better than Logan? I think you could argue those, right? But if this guy's outside of range 3 for his attack, he has a charge. Logan's outside of range 3, and he can't be like, to me, my X-Men hopped. He just loses action. So there are certainly differences between these two characters. I think for a while, at the very least, the idea of playing him with Cyclops, the idea of playing him with Colossus, he's in the suit. I think he pushes Logan to start for sure, just out of popularity. And then ongoing, I think things like Fastball might actually do the trick.
Yeah, Fastball's a big one. It makes sense that you can't play Fastball with Logan, but I think Fastball could be a big deal. And then we have to mention that no matter the cost, it's crazy. Because you can charge and then pay for your basically a free Berserker Barrage. That's going to happen quickly.
This is like the OG, no matter the cost user, like originally send him through a Defender portal. And then no matter the cost of Berserker Barrage, that hasn't changed. Now you just want two more power so that you can charge. Even if you don't go anywhere, just charge. Spend on the double wilds. It's great.
Yeah.
You're right. When Wolverine came out, I played him in the TTS, I think season 3 or so, and I got to cut. And I actually played Wolverine and lost, but I was playing no matter the cost back then. So this dude was, like you said, literally the OG no matter the cost user. And it's so good here. Yeah. He's teleporting, he's charging, he's getting wilds. He's blowing people. It's got so dumb for a tactics card.
I am a little sad because I played a game with Wolverine already. And on the backside, I lived on 5 out of 6 health. So the most, he gets extra dice on his backside for each wound he has. So he can get up to a 12 die Berserker Barrage. And I got it day one. And so I've lived the peak a little bit. I don't know what lives up to that, but I think I rolled 14 hits on the spender, which was cool, on 12 dice. So it turns out pretty good. So like I said, be on the lookout for that because he's going to be everywhere, especially initially. And he's going to hit really hard. So have a plan.
I'm just noticing something. His teleport is still before damage is dealt, thank God. I'm just saying, you're doing 14 damage. I'm like, you better 10 first before they die. because okay.
His Berserker Barrage is like what Logan pays for, right? With the superpower, but
yeah,
there's little differences, but timing.
I want to challenge all the listeners to only play tactics cards for Wolverine. That includes like Weapon X, Exceptional Healing, Magic. I don't know, what else am I missing?
Gene!
Okay, Gene, sure, but no, good cards. But yeah, no, because that was a meme when he first came out, and it's like super going to be a thing now where people just jam every Wolverine tactics card.
This is super exciting.
He's very exciting, yeah.
Wolverine fan. And if you're just a Marvel fan in general, right? This is one of the most popular characters.
Yeah. Wolverine's got to be good at your Marvel game, man. If you're gonna have Wolverine in your game, he's got to be.
Not that clown Logan. He needs the suit on. It's just.
Yeah.
We were literally living the Fox movies where we were like seeing this Logan, but he didn't have a suit on.
Wow.
Bullshit. Now I can be happy. This is Deadpool 3's release was yesterday.
Yes.
True. All right. Next up, we got Peter Parker, Amazing Spider-Man.
So that's all the mutants, right? So we've covered the ordering was all the mutants were done first, and now
can we skip to Daredevil since it's relevant to the Wolverine discussion?
We're just teasing it for the other favorite
Marvel character. What's up with Amazing Spider-Man?
So he actually got a very small change, two very small changes in sort of scope, is that his spender is now 4 power instead of 5, which is cool. I think his spender was pretty maligned, so that's awesome to see that come down.
Definitely felt overcosted before.
Yeah, it was not used very often, I don't think. But that may change with the next change is that when he got scientific hubris, basically, so when he rolls a crit, whenever he's rolling dice, if he rolls a crit, he gets a power, which is super strong for this guy. Just such a small change is going to completely change how he feels. And it's not going to change how he plays necessarily, which is great. I'm sure anybody who's played a significant amount of ASM has web swung and done 7 dice and then whiffed. And then you do a 5 die and you whiff. And then you can't web swing the next turn. That's not going to happen anymore most of the time, right? Like, obviously, dice can dice, but it just brings his power economy up in a really good way. Super excited for this guy as well. Like, I think this is a great change.
Yeah, I think.
Yes.
Freaking ownage now, and I'm playing him.
Yeah, it just provides that level of consistency to your 5 threat, right? That you want. Like when you compared him with Angela previously, she had the throw every turn. You knew you could get your throw off. Now he's gonna be able to web swing most of the time, and your 7 dice is nothing to sneeze at. Yeah. Good for Peter.
And do you think people can splash him at all?
I think people who were splashing Angela probably splash Spider-Man now. I don't know. Angela's got a terrain throw, so I think they're very comparable. But he's faster.
He's definitely crazy.
On average.
And Witty Banter is a ridiculous superpower, and he just funds it easily now, right? You're Witty Bantering, and you roll the crit. It's, oh, that sucks, but you get the power back. Cool. It just helps in a lot of ways. The more dice this guy can roll, the better.
Yep, yeah. It's when he rolls the crit, right? Not the opponent.
Yeah, but he's the one re-rolling.
So if you really banter someone, they get a crit, you get the power.
Oh, true.
You don't want to see a crit. You don't want that to happen. But if it does,
it's a refund.
You're just like, oh, cool. I guess it didn't cost me to fish.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. ASM's dope.
It's not reliable, but it's way better at pay to flips now. So you can get a crit when you're rolling for pay to flips, and his 4/4 stats are just crazy for
Amazing Spider-Man is like a pay to flip god now.
Yeah.
And notably, it's super easy for him to get the crit on, not super easy. I think I saw it today, it's 65 or 70% for him to get a crit when he rolls his defense dice. So when you do, when you combine it with the defense rolls, the dodge rolls, he's probably getting power for that. He synergizes with himself that he doesn't want to be taking damage. He has this great defensive tech and he can still power up while doing that. This is a really great example of AFG's philosophy of a small change, like something, it's not a redesign, they're adding something that might seem small, but it's going to have big implications for this character.
So, I was just going to say, it's really relevant with his leadership too, because, so the big thing that we're beating around the bush, but like the major tactic to defeat ASM is that even if it's like a mediocre attack, you just ignore him, and then he can't use Witty Banter because then he can't afford to leap the next turn. You know what I mean? So now you can, let's say you only hit for 1, but then you get the crit. So now you're getting at least now 2 power. And now you don't have this stress of, can I win event or at least once? It not so much to protect him, because maybe the opponent's ignoring him, but you're protecting your teams. And there's so many triggers in this game that Witty Banter screws over. We don't need to name anything, but there's just all these wacky triggers, especially on a lot of the newer characters, where it's, if you get like 3 symbols, something horrible happens. And Witty Banter just annihilates that. We went over Deadpool. He's a great example. Oh, you got 2 wilds. That's lucky. Too bad for you. You're not getting 2 wilds anymore. So, yeah. But so not only is he allowed to use Witty Banter to help his teammates, which is very thematic, but his leadership is power intensive. It's helping him to pay for his own leadership, which makes sense because it's his leadership. It's attached to his card.
Yeah, Pete's awesome. I'm stoked to play him. I love Peter Parker.
Cool. Moving on. We got Blackagar Boltagon.
The winner.
Oh my God.
He could be the winner. He could very well be the winner. The winner is the community, let's be clear. But
I think Black Belt wins also on best art improvement.
Tied with Gene for me.
I gotta look at Gene again. Maybe all Gene is horrific. I gotta check that out.
Yeah, so for anyone who hasn't seen these aren't just card changes. Some of them did get new art as well, and the art looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
East looks set up. Black Bolt, he gained a health on his healthy side. His energy gun is an extra die. His spender costs a point less, and he gains extra power on the power phase. He gained a 1 power bodyguard on his healthy side, and he can no longer boost his attack dice. They made up for that because they gave him an attack die on all of his attacks. Black Bolt was like super close to just being awesome originally. And also his leadership is top 5. His leadership is just...
Yo, I'm sorry. You cannot... He was not close to being awesome.
No, he was.
He
definitely was. I played him. I've played him. I've watched other people. He's a lot better than you're giving him credit for.
He was a turret that was 5 threat, but wasn't even that great at it. It had horrible power issues for the first 2 turns, at least.
If his dice just needed to be decent, and his turreting was like quite good.
Was well, trash too.
Blasting
the,
people.
His biggest problem before was it was two dice, Mystic, and then 5 health. So what ended up happening was it was usually pretty trivial to just time dazing Black Bolt
in
a really impactful moment.
Yeah, it's actually very similar to what I was saying earlier about Colossus and Captain America, where you just don't attack him until you want to kill him. And so 5 health was a joke. It's 4-4-2 stats. It's so silly.
I do think it's really notable that they just bumped up his health here instead of rebalancing it necessarily, right? So I think a lot of people had said a Black Bolt could just take a point or two from his backside. And they just were like, nope, we'll just give you an extra health. So that makes him... You know, at the high end of the 5s for sure. Someone like Magneto has 14 health,
and he's at 15.
He has a lot of health. Also, the fact that his bodyguard makes it so that your opponent can't really time the kill properly. If you're suspecting Black Bolt's going to die, you could just make him bodyguard for somebody else, right? And then it's like, all right, he's dead now.
That's exactly why I'm saying you're crazy to think he was like close to good. This is almost a new character gameplay wise. Maybe on paper, it's like minor little this, minor little that, but his agency just went up ridiculously. Like agency on just the fact that he starts with extra power every turn, which also just, in the way, enables his leadership for his other teammates. And then he can like, it's a perfect loan. He can give someone a power and know he'll get it back from some other character later. He's starting out the gate quick. And like you said, the agency of making the opponent kill him when they don't want to, and then now they have to deal, like, oh my God, can you imagine just like stealing cryo by making them kill this guy, and then now you have like freaking crazy ass whisper ready to go?
Exactly. Like, I agree with you. Like, Black Bolt is insane. He definitely was not a unusable and bad character before, is my point.
Yeah, no character in this game is generally completely useless.
But I would argue that pre-buff Daredevil was basically useless. This old Black Bolt was not useless, if only for his leadership. His leadership was like for sure top 4 in the game for me.
Yeah, his leadership's great.
Like Storm, Sam, Black Bolt, and Malekith were like my top 4 leaderships.
But the fact he had 5 health was a problem.
He had weakness for sure.
Yeah, it's just a lot of weakness. They really fixed it. They This is like some smart changing of a character. 15 health is crazy. This is probably a character that you consider having also patch up for, by the way, because he can basically become near immortal on his injured side with that 9 health pool. That's just crazy.
A 1 cost bodyguard makes this guy splashable, right? Yeah. 1 cost bodyguard, 15 health. This is a splash candidate for sure.
Man, like, can you imagine people actually playing this guy unaffiliated? That might even be a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely on the table. How good that his turreting is and his ability to protect other people. He is very good.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, to be honest.
I think bodyguard is a really clever way of addressing like how to fix characters and like game design and balance in general, where it's like a very unintuitive thing to give him a bodyguard, but that kind of fixes like a lot of the problems. It's smart.
Yeah, it's very smart.
Anything else in Blackpool?
No.
Yeah, so we got Black Cat. Poor kitty. Sure, Builder is a little better. It bleeds on damage. And she is like Domino now. When people are attacking her, people can't explode their crits.
I think that's a huge change for her.
Yeah, Domino is like notoriously tanky, right? And Cat's kind of similar to that now.
She just can't get one shot to a 4-die attack, right?
Yeah.
It just cannot happen. So that's like super good for a 3 threat.
And here's... Steals it, which is been saying for a while is a bad change. I thought it was a bad change with Enchantress. I still agree here. Should have just been once per turn and probably more expensive.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I think this is AMG drawing. They're lying in the sand. We're making it clear that they're lying in the sand. This is something you're going to have to figure out how to play with this character for the whole game, and then they're going to steal late, is my actual read. You might get to steal once a game. Or if you're going to steal more than once, you're going to be in real danger, right? By sticking these characters into the middle. I do think that bad luck helps a ton, but the Enchantress, she didn't get anything to compensate.
That's fair. So the Enchantress was just straight nerfed.
I do think that Black Cat is way cooler in Midnight Suns. It's still just a 4-die attack, but the bleed, giving out bleed helps blade a lot. So that's a sweet change. So yeah, I think while I don't like the action, it synergizes with the rest of the game, quite frankly, in a lot of ways. And I think that we'll see. She will get played still, certainly, because the stagger is still incredible. And the crit thing is going to help her stick around a lot longer than she has previously.
She's still a long mover, right? Enchantress is a medium mover. Yeah, I definitely am still going to play Cat in webs, but I need to play her. We'll see. I think she still has some merit for sure. So maybe the change is fine.
I think she's like where you look at, she doesn't feel like the core 3 necessarily anymore. She's still important to the list, but if you're like dueling, for example, Cat to me is something that could easily be cut. That's an early candidate. So
I think that Syndicate could play her because stealing Pryo, having her go last and then stealing Pryo is pretty savvy. It's just one of those things you're not going to do until turn 3, turn 4, turn 5, etc. It's like a later game play. And as a shout out, it might be janky, but MODOK is also a member of Criminal Syndicate, and he has a card called Aim Lackeys, which gives you a free action, which he can use anytime he wants during her activation. So you can still commit steal move with Aim Lackeys.
Is Aim Lackeys love finally paid off?
Yeah, so that's like scary. It's not like going to be this like turn 2 thing anymore. The big difference.
Which is good. That is good for the game. Like, I will unequivocally, like, the fact that you can't cheese these out, turn 1 with Steve, just do it all constantly with, like, Hellfire Club. I think those are good things, so.
I can agree.
Yeah.
Our next up is Blade. Got one small trade. She got a hit trigger pursuit on his glaive. And I'm just going to say this. I've been saying this forever. I think if I control F the Danger Room Discord, there's me talking about why doesn't Blade have pursuit? He's literally a freaking vampire hunter.
He pursues things.
That's right. Now he's got it. Hell yeah.
I think this is a really good change, right? Like, one of Blade's big complaints was what happens when he's out of range or if you have to glaives, things like that. Like, I think this addresses that really well. The hit makes me a little sad, but...
Yeah, I feel like this
is
on pursuit. Like, javelins.
I agree.
But at the same time, I think it's fine.
I would counterbalance the why is it variance, because he actually has very little variance on his card, right? The katana is just auto bleed. his bender is if they have a bleed, all these awesome things happen. This is like the one thing on his card where it's, okay, man, we need the dice to do something that's like actual variance. It gives something for the opponent to sweat, right? Like, well, maybe he won't get a hit and I'll dodge this thing. So it's pretty consistent other than that one thing.
He doesn't have any control, right? Like, he still rolls dice.
Yeah.
Can I complain for just a quick second? They went through all of the effort of changing blade, which is uploading PDF, but why did they not change half-blood physiology to just be remove a condition like Agent Venom's? Why does he have the worst version of this? I don't understand it. And there might be a reason, but I demand answers. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Wait. Blade can't remove conditions like around Crystal, right? Is what?
Yeah. I mean, it largely doesn't actually matter, but so I'm being a little facetious, but yes, he does have a weaker version than Venom's because Blade performs a shake action and Venom's just says remove one special condition. So there are corner cases where Blade, the symbiote AMG, is stronger than vampirism.
Symbiotes are stronger than being a vampire. You heard it here.
Like, I disagree with your comment on variance. The dude has a reroll on his spender, and he has rerolls with supernatural sense. The dude's got rerolls, but it's a mystic five dice pierce attack, which is like, it's not cream of the crop, but it's quite good.
Oh, it's definitely good.
Watched a lot of five dice attacks do nothing.
Yeah, Blade's got a lot of variance when his attacks are designed around, I've got to kill you. There is a fair amount of variance in that character because how often is he just sitting on four power to be able to auto spender, right? It'll happen, but I think there's more inherent diciness in this character than you would assume.
Well, no, I played him and I don't find that. Turn two, he's already got two power. All he has to do is get two more power. That's not ridiculous. Glaivethroat gives you a power for free, for sure. Then he just needs to find a way to get one more power. There's objectives that give power.
Sure, it can happen. Yes.
I remember when he came out, I was pissed because he was so much better than Wolverine. Because it's like, yeah, he had all the things I wished Wolverine had. And obviously Wolverine got buffed and all that's great. But it annoys me that people downplay Blade. He's not that bad. And this is definitely helpful for him for action economy, which was his biggest weakness.
I think it's his ability to be removed from the table is his other big weakness.
Yeah, his weakness to energy is like a problem, but that's balanced.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I like Blade. I think does it fix everything that I have gripes with? No. But is it a big change for the way he's going to play and how consistent he'll feel? Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's move on.
Daredevil, he's finally released and in this game.
Third time.
That beta mini that you got to paint before he came out.
Mini with no rules.
Third time's a charm, baby. I own two Daredevils minis prior to this, so I'm definitely a Daredevil homer. And another I had a glow up yesterday, guys. I got everything I wanted, except Core Parker, but he got buffed a while back, so we're good. But yeah, this is great. So Daredevil, just running down the card, got an extra defense die for physical defense, so he's 4-3-3 now. His strike did not change. His baton hook now ignores stealth, which is a super cool flavor win. His baton hook is now a wild, or a hit instead of a wild, which is
huge.
A lot more reliable. Notably, they changed the name on it to pull instead of push, which I think is hilarious. And then Devil's Deliverance is where we start to see some of the big changes in the card. So this now becomes something you can use against one person as well. So Devil's Deliverance went to area 2, 6 dice base, 5 power. Used to be a 2 dice base. The trade-off is that instead of adding 2 dice for each character, each non-dace character around you, you add 1. This is always going to be a 7 die attack into someone, which the auto pushes them away. So that's cool. I think that the spender is good. If you can get people clumped up, especially like that thing all mashing.
The spender is strictly better than the previous one at less, like 5 or less models or something like that, right?
Yes.
Like you have to be hitting like 6 or more models for the old version to be better. So
you have to be, yeah, I think at 4 it switches, right? Because 4 would be 4, they would tie. So yeah, it's 5 yeah, plus models, the old ones.
That's though. Ridiculous.
Yeah, so dude, I played one game with Daredevil yesterday and dude, I got this thing off on 3 characters and I all whipped up them. I was rolling 11 dice into 3 models. They all died.
It was so good.
I said, Miles all went up, Daredevil walk, Deliverance, everything died. I was like,
this dude is insane. Like, on the revved up turn. On the backside, not to skip some of the stuff, but he can do 3 attacks.
Yep.
A turn. It's nuts. So on an all webbed up turn, you do 7, 7, and then a guaranteed
9
dice attack for the all webbed up turn. That's ridiculous.
So, 9? Oh, like a Devil's Deliverance or something?
Yeah, so if you strike Devil's Deliverance, you go 7.
Yeah.
Or 3 7 die attacks, whatever.
Yeah, they might need to reconsider this guy being a web warrior. To be
honest. Get out of here. No.
I mean, he was like pity added to that affiliation a long time ago. And I'm just saying, I don't know, that what you guys are describing is gross. Oh my gosh. He's like an X rating on this this story.
Us web warrior fans have been out in the desert for too long. It's fine. Nice we finally
let
got
me somewhere. Have fun. Stop being mean.
To your point about web warriors, he's a defender's leader.
Yes.
So that's the big striking thing is that he is a defender. Marvel Knights has come to MCP. So once a turn, allied character may reroll a number of its attack dice equal to the number of enemy characters within 2 of itself. Fun fact, if you have an area 2 attack and you can reroll, that's pretty good. So I like this leadership.
Oh my god.
Yes, Bluch is like recoiling.
Yeah, Daredevil's leadership is pretty good. I played against it and it did work for my opponent. He's had a bunch of brawlers and they were just punching the crap out of me. So it was pretty cool.
What does Deaton think about this leadership with an affiliated Wolverine?
Yeah, it's awesome. You talk about rolling these. Need some dice consistency is the thing that's missing from Wolverine's card, and here it is, right? So I played this team earlier. So I played Daredevil, Wolverine, ASM, and Wong. I just 4 buffed models to throw them on the table.
That team is just such a win for MCP, man.
That's like your crutches. It's just Deaton's boyfriends.
Yeah, it's every character I love and just throw them on the table and it works. Yeah, I just sat everyone on my back point turn 1 and then I pentagrammed in turn 2 because they all clumped up around the researcher on turn 1. And so Wolverine just went through the portal and his first attack was a 5 die punch with 4 rerolls if I needed it. I didn't. So the second attack was a counting double wild 7 dice attack with 4 reroll. Then Daredevil goes through the portal and does the same thing. And then Spider-Man, he web swings in. It's 7 dice with however many rerolls you want. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
If you never want Morgan Reed to play MCP again, you got to tell him that story. All right. Mention portals like 3 times. And
it doesn't sound like I have to worry about that.
Yeah.
No. So I think this is great, right? Defenders have been one of the most maligned affiliations. It's the affiliation that could just, they took away the defining characteristic of it in pentagrams, in turn 1 pentagrams, which is a good change. But then they have just meandered, and it's such a cool affiliation list. It's probably the best affiliation list for me as a person in the game.
So many fan favorites in that list. Spider-Man,
right,
Wolverine, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Hulk, and there's still more. Hawkeye, Magic, Elektra.
Yeah.
I'm gonna coin a phrase right now. It's gonna be called the Pentabomb because you're just gonna make this portal and somebody's coming through it and it's just gonna annihilate everybody.
Yeah.
You're gonna get pentabombed.
Yeah, I really like these guys. I think that this is probably my favorite change, not even power level wise, but just we got a new affiliation yesterday.
Yeah.
Ways, right? Like this is something the Defenders list didn't change too much, but this is a very different look. And like when you think about some of the things that they were doing before with Doctor Strange and Hulk, and this changes that affiliation. So huge win for Daredevil and Matt Murdock.
Affiliated Hulk, Immortal Hulk. Oh my God. Even just sending Moon Knight through a portal and just getting 80 trillion bow staff rerolls with a 6 dice attack. It's just crazy.
And then one other change that he got, which is a really good change as well, is that on his front side, his Man Without Fear superpower, which lets him attack back whenever he gets attacked for 2 power, he got an advance on that. So he can actually walk towards the person and then attack short and then attack with his strike. It just really helps if someone wants to shoot him from range 4. He can just walk up and punch him, I think.
And that attack has stun on it, so you could be ending their happiness when they get stunned.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's a really good change for him as well. He's super mobile and he's not going to get stuck and he's tankier now. Big win for Matty Murdock, lawyers and everywhere.
Hell yeah.
You know, that leadership is great with large base characters, which there's so many. Freaking Ghost Rider is in that affiliation as well.
Ghost Rider can drive up somewhere, yeah, and get as many models around him as possible.
Yeah, I think Ghost Rider loves this leadership, right? Like,
can you beat with it? You can beat, right?
You only get the roll one.
Okay.
But
thank God. Thank God. Could you imagine if you could go through and beam someone's thing?
Yeah, it would rapid fires and things like that would be really stupid. But
yeah.
But yeah, like this is just, it's really good, right? There's lots of those characters in there that love this attack or this leadership. Think of someone like Blade, right? You can have the rerolls on that first attack if you want to fuel your.
That puts him to a spender, which has rerolls. Yeah.
Lots of little things like that.
And Blade is a defender. Honestly, too, like, yeah. What is it? I just got to say, Ancient was like super underrated and is a defender. It's just like she never, it's just hard for her to get her time in the sun. And I think Ancient One would love to go through a portal and beat up people.
Are we going to keep moving?
Yep.
Voodoo, massive changes. Oh. His throw is gone. His possession doesn't work on secures anymore. He can't bring Brother Daniel back for free in the power phase. Recall spirit costs one more. Brother Daniel comes back when he dazes now. You can't trap people with it. And he gained a double hit trigger throw on his builder. Everything.
He gained a... Did you say the throw? He gained the throw on the builder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, yep. Yeah, lots of changes to old Voodoo.
So the big things with Voodoo is he can no longer, like... His control is basically gone, like, in terms of displacing models.
It broke up for me.
He can't just take two move actions and do a bunch of the throw and a bunch of possessions anymore. Which is good. He lost some damage output by not being able to throw terrain anymore. Brother Daniel's very much more of, I commit to doing this. He can't pull it back as easily at all. You also can just daze him to get Daniel back off your character. If you couldn't before.
So play pattern would be like, activate him last. Possess someone, steal the thing, and then the turn ends, like the round ends. You get the guy back for free, and now you get attacked.
You don't get it back for free anymore.
I know, that's been ruined, gotcha. Right? So now, so then you would have your defensive dice, they have prio, they beat you up, but you're fine. But now, if you don't get to do that, and if you can't, because you spend the power to possess, you spend the power to steal the extract, now you get power for turn, but if you don't have three power, then you're going to get beat up on at least for one attack. Right, because you have to recall for three with a three cost.
I think, again, when we look at, like, we talked about the Black Cat nerfs, this is very similar in a lot of ways to that, right? This isn't something where you're going to throw possession out early in the game and then be fine and just run around. Like, this very much feels like once you do this, you're on a clock. Surprised that he can multiple possess still for however much power he has, right? I can just possess. Grab everything and run away. I can still do that. I'm not saying he needed to lose it necessarily. I am saying it surprised me that he kept it. But these are
Once
changes.
Once per turn would have been a very easy thing to add and call it a day, but
I don't know. I think this is probably certainly the biggest when we talk about play patterns and things like that. I think this or one other are going to be the biggest nerfs in terms of the play pattern itself. So I don't like Voodoo. I certainly don't think is bad. Looking at him, but it'll remain to be seen what this exactly does to his power level. It's clear they wanted him to, and they said this on the stream, be fair and powerful. And I think that I could see that working with this card. He's not what he was, and that's a good thing. Objectively, I think that's a good thing.
It's just a big deal that you can score a VP with a character that's possessed, because before you basically are leaving a character in Africa. They can't do anything. It just feels so helpless. When you're like 6+ threat characters, just not contributing to VPs. So
this is your only unactivated character. And then
true.
Even if you kill him, you still can't score. That's gone. Thank you.
Yeah. And a lot of times thinking on map Bs, you would possess someone on one side and run away. And then it's really two turns, regardless of what happens with the token, because they lose the turn of travel. So it's there's just a lot of things this fixes in terms of the way he broke the game. And I think Voodoo is one of the characters that was truly broken, like mechanically and play pattern wise. And so I'm so happy that this changed, even though.
Yeah, I mean, he worked on the rules form were not answered because the answer was doesn't work.
It was very funny that they acknowledged that in the stream. They're like, you might have noticed this. And so good for them for saying that and good for them for changing. I don't think it was really acceptable that it took 2 years and there was no we're looking at this type thing, but I think that's just AMG.
A
long time ago. We'll take it.
Honestly, just transparency that we're looking into things, but I guess that leaves expectations and who knows.
Yeah, we can debate exactly how they should communicate all day, but I think just see how he does now and move on.
All right, next up is Electra. She got one small change. Her range attack is a build or a gainer, which that's all she really needed. I played against her last night. And, dude, she feels like Electra in a lot of ways. Or not Electra. No, she's Electra. She feels like Psylocke in a lot of ways, which is cool. She's an assassin. Opponent just walked up, shot me, shadow step, end of the point, and then shot my other character, impaled, teleport, impale my other character. It was freaking cool. The grunts were doing things on top of.
I think this is one that everyone collectively was like, what the hell, when she came out. Because
that was definitely just like a failed experiment.
Looked like, so. And Hulk was like that, right? Originally. And so then they changed Hulk away from that. So it was like a head scratch for a little bit. But when you think about design cycles, okay, get it. But yeah, glad to see that she's changed. So excited to see her on the table because her sculpt, I think, is pretty cool.
It's cool that she can teleport and then put the ninja out or put the ninja out and then teleport. It's neat that you get to choose that.
I think Electra is really cool and she's been primed in my box forever and I can finally paint her. I really like her as a character, so I'm excited to play some more of her.
And I'm really excited to see if there's ever any weird cool stuff with her and Daredevil on the table at the same time with the ninjas, because they're the only shared parent and we haven't seen that because Electra has been historically so bad. So can you make them work together? And that's a whole new avenue to explore, which I think is exciting.
She was cool with new Daredevil. My opponent played Defenders Leader Daredevil and Electra. She's a Defender too, and she was sweet. She definitely likes the rerolls. Wonderful. And they don't conflict with the grunts.
Love it.
All right, next up is Hela. Hela got a bunch of changes. She has her Claim Soul costs 1 now from 2. Her Hellforge Blade is range 3. What else she has? She gained a bow mechanic on her healthy side. You can pull people in towards you, and then you roll dice to do damage to them. She gained 2 health.
So you advance towards them on her little...
Oh, advances character towards... Oh, I misread that.
Never mind. She walks towards someone and then does like her little attacky.
Oh, so interestingly enough, she could just walk Death's Embrace and then do the free damage off it and then attack somebody on the mid. That's cool.
She can't use Army of Hell on the Claim Soul anymore, which was that the old play pattern with her is just basically spam Claim Souls on people from range 4. But now they want you to collect souls and then go in for the attack with the blade.
You also, Claim Soul now needs to like do damage to get souls. I think it was automatic before.
I could find out. I played a lot of Hela when she first came out. I think you just always hit people anyway.
It was damage before.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but it 6 dice Mystic, it often did damage.
I think her having a way to heal is really cool thematically. She can that with the Death's Embrace. It's not a super, she's not going to heal a ton in any one moment most of the time. But she has these little heals and it comes with the action economy. I really like what they did here.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Hela. I'm having a hard time quantifying the extent of her changes. I think she's okay.
Right.
We'll see.
You got to keep in mind that under Asgard, she has exceptional healing, which is cute.
Yeah.
She's one of the things that, so things going good for her is she was actually, before Bill came out, she was actually reasonable in Midnight Suns since she had 2 power per turn and could like, do midline stuff with like comps. And the other thing is she's good at Pita Flip, so she's got the 4-4-4 defense solid. I don't think she's going to.
That's a fair point. What? She gives some competition to Bill and like the Eyes on the Prize thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's not insane, but she's like very acceptable as a character now. And maybe under Asgard, when they get more characters and get better, she's actually a shout to play this character.
All right. We got Malekith next. Malekith, his second round of nerfs. Thank God. I hate this cat so much. He lost a health on both sides. His
Blade of Midnight no longer pierces, and his ferocity throw is capped at size 3. So he's no longer... He's actually actively kind of bad into big models now. Like, Hulk already gave him fits, and Hulk is, like, even better in a melee.
Yeah, notably not turning Hulk into a bowling ball into the rest of your team.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's... Yeah, it was really lame that Malekith could chuck Sentinels and Dormammu around. He no longer can. So that's cool. And then also losing the Pierce significantly reduces his spike potential, which I love. Malekith's biggest problem now is getting started, and I think this will help that. He also, just losing a health, I think, is good as well. He felt way too durable when you, in conjunction with his adding skulls on defense and my Phantasmagoria. So I like to see that he's a little more not as durable. Like, you have to use his speed to pick people off instead of just face tank the whole team, because he could do that before.
He lost 2 health.
Yeah, right? He lost 1 on both sides.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. And you're right. Phantasmagoria, he basically had at least 2 more health as well.
Playing against freaking Malekith at Carlcon, and my opponent, I ended up killing Malekith. He lived on 1 once. I walked up, Bill shot him, and I did 4 damage. Top of next round, my entire team is Phantasmagoria, so I basically just gave him a bunch of power. And then I left him on 1, and he got Pasha for 5, because freaking Red Skull has a bazillion power. So I had to do 25 damage to kill Malekith. Like, it was ridiculous. Triggers that are healing.
Yeah, actually, 25 might even be too low. Catch up for 5 plus 3 or so is 26 damage. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was 18 plus 5. It was just dumb. I was like, God, this is so much harder than it should be.
Yep. I don't really want to talk about Malekith anymore, to be honest.
Malekith done with that. Tired, but it's worth pointing out.
Oh, no. I know. I'm just saying I'm done with that character.
All right. Next up is Ronan. Ronan just got a simple buff. His health is now 7-7. I don't know.
Instead of 6-6.
He's definitely tankier. Ronan was still mostly ignorable. I think he still is ignorable.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a miss, in my opinion, that Universal Weapon doesn't have an auto power gain.
Yeah, that attack should have been a gainer. That would have been my pick, too.
Yep. Oh, and for 10 seconds, Ronan's spender was 0 cost. So if you have like...
really living the dream.
Yeah, if you had a tournament 10 seconds after that reveal, it was a good time. It was free Kree Justices for everyone.
Unlimited Kree Justices. Love.
But props AMG, they figured it out quickly.
Yeah, it's no longer. Yeah, not a whole lot to say about Ronan. I think it's just a small buff. Taskmaster is now, his shield throw is in line with every other shield throw in the game. It's a gainer. Thank God.
Yeah, what? A range attack that gives you 1 power. It's almost like Ronan should have had this. It's so obvious.
Yeah, I played Taskmaster the other day in a shield affiliation battle, and he was pretty good. I think Taskmaster was really, still is good into like the all the Pierce models and like rapid fire models and all that crap. Beam models, like he's a sleeper good there.
Syndicate is huge for him. You're playing Syndicate, loves to play Scoundrels, gives cover. He says no to cover. And then Syndicate has this very expensive tactics card, all for in a plan. And Taskmaster could just battery for that, which was like a big weakness with Taskmaster, is he had such horrible power gain. And Sword Strike just was never that reliable. And in general, Taskmaster's like whole thing is, I don't know if it's still true, but you tell me what you think. But Taskmaster's role was like, he was just like a little bit above curve tanky for a 3 threat. And just not dying with an extract was for as long as possible was his thing. But now, yeah, and now you add shield throw though, and it becomes like an energy, like a power battery. And he doesn't actually spend that much power himself, but the helping out the team to pay for the tactics card is like a big deal. He could pay for a patch up or all kinds of things, tactics cards of various kinds. And he definitely has things to spend power on. If he does build up some power and then someone comes at him, he can then do the mnemonic technique and just put out some good damage. But the bottom line is, it didn't take much to make this character good enough. It just one little thing, giving him power on his shield throw, such a small change, really helps out Taskmaster. I think, personally think Taskmaster is going to be like a default pick for Syndicate going forward. And then Black Cat's going to be like this put her in when it makes sense kind of thing. Because Black Cat is not a battery. In fact, she loves to spend her power every turn. So she doesn't really help.
I think I don't know that how much I think. Obviously, this is a big change for him as a character, but because it's, I don't know how much this is going to tip anyone's scales. If you didn't like Taskmaster before, this doesn't change your opinion. I think it's if you liked him, but if you liked him but didn't make the cut necessarily, this might put him in your list. But fundamentally, I don't think this does a whole lot, because for a long time, Criminal Syndicate hasn't had trouble paying for All According to Plan. So.
Well, I disagree, though. They have. And some people don't even play it. So I know there's a group of people that don't even play it.
Like Rhino's.
Yeah.
Like Rhino and Ulic and things like that have made it. Like, I think it's less of a problem than it was at one point. I think it's a good change. And I think he has a place now. I just think it's, I'm not sure how many opinions you're going to flip. Mostly because what he does doesn't change.
I mean, I made two cuts with Syndicate playing Corvus Proxima. And that's like a different style than what people are doing right now. But yeah, spoiler, Reality Gem isn't restricted anymore. And I definitely went ahead and rebuilt my Syndicate roster. And Taskmaster is going to be huge for me, because I loved playing Black Cat and she was a good character, but she couldn't battery for Corvus Proxima. See what I'm saying? And and it's also a tanky character, because my alternative was Hood, which is, he's okay. But Hood's not like the greatest battery, because he wants to spend power himself. And then also, he's not that tanky, so he's not like a reliable extract holder. Like, Taskmaster is just like filling that role for me perfectly. And so I wouldn't have played Taskmaster before this change. So personally got converted. I didn't believe in Taskmaster, but now I do in that roster. And I hate when people say that All According to Plan isn't good with Syndicate. It's like one of the best cards in the game. And if you're not trying to make it work, sure, maybe that's just a different strategy. But I think you should actively try to make one of the best cards in the game work.
Yep. Yeah, I don't want to get on a Syndicate rant. Taskmaster's definitely better. I don't think Taskmaster's had a glow up in the last league anyway. I think he's good into a lot of the characters that were meta, and he's just slightly better now. So people should reevaluate Taskmaster. Next up is another change that's near and dear to my heart. Finally, Thanos has been nerfed. It's been so long. He's been deserving of a nerf for 3 years. Cosmic Portals once per turn. Thank God.
I love this change because it stops him from the thing that sort of is always my trigger point, which is breaking the fundamental rules of the game. 2 years ago, they made it so these bow effects weren't multiple times per turn. And Thanos just kept his, which is whatever. But now Thanos is still extremely strong, and the gem changes that we've hinted at, he's even stronger, maybe as a part of a team. But what he's not going to do is blow you up and then rearrange the board, or he's not going to go last and undo an entire round to the board state. And I think that's so important that he doesn't do that anymore. Listening to AMG talk about what is important to them around like how these characters should feel and things like that, I think this is a great thing that they've done.
I agree. Thanos has been so frustrating to play against, and I hated that they restricted the gems just for him. So I'm very happy that they finally adjusted him and unrestricted the gems. Corvus felt like he just got essentially banned because he needs a reality gem. He's undertuned in a lot of ways. He's acceptable with that gem, but not really as a restricted character.
And Maw was just starting to hit this innovation. He was coming into the meta, and then all of a sudden that was gone. And that wasn't Maw's fault.
Yeah, it wasn't fair to the other characters, and I'm very happy they did this. Thank God, it's been overdue. Thor got some buffs. His Mystic Defense is now 4. He gained a health on his healthy side, I believe. He was 6-8, now he's 7-8. And his Spender is like, what, 1 or 2 cheaper, and it auto-shocks people?
It's 2 cheaper.
Yeah. And then he gains immunity to shock and stun. I think that's everything. Yeah. I think Thor's AoE is pretty sweet. AoEs are the big winner of this whole wave. A lot of these AoE attacks are better.
Yeah. I think they learned like how to properly cost them over the last couple of years. And we're seeing some of that.
Yeah. Like Storm, Thor, Daredevil, Cable. It's a lot. Yeah. I think Thor's changes are fine. I think he's going to be super exciting with new Steve. Yeah, I don't know. You guys know anything about Thor?
No, I'm excited to play him.
Yeah, I think he's definitely could be an Avengers pick for sure.
I don't think doesn't fundamentally change some of his diciness, but giving you that 4-power God of Thunder outlet seems good.
Yep.
All right, probably the biggest loser is Bucky. Bucky's rapid fire is now a wild trigger instead of a hit trigger, and his Red Fury is capped at size 3. And if you don't know, if you don't push the model with Red Fury, you cannot make the assault rifle attacks. Red Fury cannot assault rifle for size 4 or larger models. I don't know if I really like this change. I don't know. Bucky was probably too good. I think a lot of people played him more than he probably deserved or should have been played from like a affiliation or theme standpoint. They people played him for a number standpoint and Rogue Agent. But I think I've played a lot of Bucky in Shield, and if he doesn't have any dice mods or anything like with his old card, I felt like he was just barely serviceable. He was very good. He also made a lot of shots that did nothing. And he's going to be making less shots that also do nothing.
Yeah. I like the Red Fury change a lot just because I thought it was weird.
I can agree with that one for sure.
That it was always weird to me that he's just like shoving whoever he wants around. I thought that was a miss from the first chain rat up. Yeah. How many times do you just not roll the wild for bleed on Bucky? I don't know. It seems weird that's where they chose to touch his effectiveness. Hydra Tactics, for example, is just fine for some reason. So I don't know.
He's just making less attacks now, right? His power gen is like worse by a lot. This is like so crippling for Shield, I think, because he's making less attacks, building less power, and Helios is worse for that. There's a lot of things about this. But I will say, if you are terrorized by Shield, this is a big nerf to them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this change, because it's the one where, to me, objectively looks like, oh, that's not for that character. Obviously, right. Thanos changes, but Thanos gets gems and things like that. So this is a tough one for Bucky.
Bucky's nerf was a little harsh, but we'll see. Last but not least is Wong. He gained a defense die, and his servant ability works with both Doctor Stranges now.
This is the best change of the entire thing. I know I talked a lot about Wolverine and Spider-Man. Doesn't matter. Good job, AMG, because the buff to Wong's defenses, I couldn't care less about, quite frankly. But the servant is very good change.
Yeah, it's just from a new player perspective. You're like, why doesn't Wong work with this Doctor Strange?
Yeah. Yep.
If you don't have the full context of AMG's journey as a game designers.
He's called the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, yeah, no. But so if you don't understand that, back in the day, AMG didn't alias their abilities, then you get it. But for new players, you're like, that's stupid. Why doesn't Wong work with Supreme?
Exactly. No, I think this is a great change from that perspective.
Yeah. That's everyone. I'm so excited to play now, man. I was like so bummed out. I've been assembling my new X-Men today. I've been painting them, or I'm going to get started painting them. Taking Web Warriors to WTC, I pivoted off of Shield because Bucky nerfs make me really nervous. And I think Daredevil's really good.
I think the big winner, like I've said, I said this a couple times, but like the community, I've seen so many people get excited about being able to put their kind of iconically favorite characters on the table. And that's a huge win, right? Like the amount of like defenders lists I've seen with Daredevil. And is it because Daredevil's like strong? Partially. Is it because people think Daredevil is playable? Yes. And that gets them going. So this was a home run. They knocked it out of the park. Good job. Whatever you think about any individual change, some of the stuff they touched, people really happy.
Yeah. I don't think any character here that was touched was undeserved, except for, like I said, maybe Bucky. Bucky probably deserved to be touched, but I just don't agree with the way that they did it. Whatever. If he's the model that had to die for me to have I was going to play X-Men anyway, so yeah, sure.
Yeah. He's the only model. Yep. He's the only model that was buffed that was then subsequently nerfed.
Yeah, he's been in both erratas. He's like the only one.
It's interesting. Wish they would have taken collisions away from Rocket, but we're not here for that.
Freaking hate Rocket. But yeah, it looks like Sploosh's mic took a crap, so he's gone. Yeah, we're approaching the 2-hour mark. I don't think that I have anything else other than I'm like super excited to play Marvel again. I'm very excited for WTC. For listeners who want to follow along, WTC is, these will be legal, but the new core box will not. So,
and this stuff is live right now, right? So I think I don't remember if we mentioned that. If you want to play this stuff, go download it off of AMG's site, print these out, and let it rip.
Yeah.
Yeah, AMG never lets me down at a long enough timeline.
Yeah, they seem to get there eventually.
Yeah, there's always a lull where people get real frustrated. They're like, "This, what's happening?" And then it's like, guys, every time we do this, something happens. Crisis changes, erratas, new core box. I think they've earned the right to be a little more patient.
I haven't actually watched like any of the streams, unfortunately, but have they actually commented on, is this a thing we can just expect now? Because remember they played a game where they were not really changing things because of any reason other than the fact that we're making new layouts for the cards, right?
Yeah, I think they're not in the, they're not making excuses for errata anymore. They're very honest now where they're like, look, we will and need to push design space for new characters going forward. If that causes us to make adjustments down the line, we will do that, but we will not do anything impulsively.
Yeah, there's no regular cadence. It's did this. It's an ongoing process. We will monitor things. It's not going to be a fast thing, but we're certainly watching. So I loved how transparent they were about that part. I know some people were like, just announce it already. I really found it interesting the way they were talking about it, the way they said the newer developer came on and doubled the number of things in the errata, which is cool. But I think, it's
important as game designers to, players are really good at identifying problems. They're really bad at identifying solutions. So it's important as a designer to listen to what people say are problems and then do a lot of work behind the scenes and like in isolation to actually get to the crux of how to fix the issue. So it's good that they did that. Like Black Bolt is a perfect example of that, right? Nobody was crying that Black Bolt was bad because he couldn't bodyguard, but that has a whole lot of ripple effects down the line. In theory, I haven't played Black Bolt, but that's my read.
Yeah. And are we expected to just print these cards out?
Yeah, I don't think they mentioned anything about releasing a pack, at least not in the short term. I would just
if that's their attitude, and for example, they could change Ronin in 10 minutes, I would like to see them be a little more aggressive with changing things.
I think they've been very clear that that's not what we're going to end up doing. I know we'd like here's how we work this.
It's important. I think this definitely felt a little long for me. It took too long. A lot of these characters in this balance wave were definitely identified for needing updates 2 years.
I looked it up because I was curious. Punisher hasn't been affiliated for 2 years and 11 months.
Yeah, he finally gained an affiliation. He's Defender. That could happen at any time. It's whatever. But
the point is like Crossbones, or I'm not Crossbones, but Taskmaster. These characters are old, man. I'm not complaining, I guess, that I'm glad we got these changes, and it would have been nice to come a little faster. And I don't know enough of behind the scenes of what caused it to take this long. And maybe this is like because obviously they're in the business of selling products and they have to make product, test product. Where was this on the chart of importance? This might have been like a side project. I don't know. It'd be cool. Okay, first of all, you guys say they said they're not going to do anything. Nobody's going to believe them anymore because they said they were never going to make changes after the two years ago. And now they're
anymore. They definitely did.
I know. I'm saying it's a precedent. They've built it up that they will say they'll never do something, and then now they'll do it eventually, which it's the logical choice. We all knew that this had to happen. It just, any game you play, this is how it works. Like you do something and then it's a mistake. Magic the Gathering is, I think, going on 25 years or something. They've been saying very publicly that you can't design things without the room for mistakes. It doesn't work. I don't know. I'm not asking for some every 6 months packed, but I'm just, please be a little more open. Even if it's a character change every whatever, half a year, 1 year, I just, for the love of God, please commit a little bit to like being open to playing around with the game a little bit. For people, we as gamers want change constantly because it gives us something to do. It's like a new puzzle to play with.
Been explicit in saying we're not going to change for change's sake. They just will not do that.
Yeah, I had to play with my Taskmaster that's something like 2 whatever years old and wishing for them to just change one part of his card. And there's other characters like Gambit, for example, that I think needs a little change. It would make me more excited as a fan of this game to have a little hope, a little light at the end of the tunnel of maybe it'll change eventually. And a little bit more openness, like a little with about this like we were saying, like just even announced, like it's awesome they announced all this stuff. And it's like such a huge, it's like a nuclear bomb went off between 24 hours ago or whatever time. And it's awesome, but we could have been eased into this a little bit more and it would have been cool too. That's all I'm saying. A little bit more public face.
I don't care.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, if they can change Ronin in 10 minutes, clearly they have the app ability to just edit up.
That was just a mess up. It's not like they're making changes that are like tuning.
No, but it implies that there's a file somewhere and someone could go and just do a little editing.
They don't doubt that. Yeah, they don't want to do that. Like, that's very different from a lot of the things that I, like Taskmaster, maybe that makes sense, but you have to think about what are the implications to criminals.
Well, no, I don't want them to just change things without testing. And I assume, maybe I'm wrong, I assume they've been testing these changes for a while. I'd like to think that they, because clearly we just discussed that they put a lot of thought into some of these changes and we agree with them as people who play this game a lot, right? Somebody's putting some thought into this. And so I'm not asking for that to not happen, but I don't know. I just would like more changes, basically.
All right. I don't want to get into that discussion anymore.
Okay.
Listeners, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our takes on the new changes and get some games in. See you later.